This is Dealing with Diabetes. I'm Pamela Wu. Diabetes is an epidemic in new ethnic communities like California's Hmong population. It's one of the largest in the country. For most of their long history, the Hmong people lived in the mountainous areas of China and Southeast Asia in a nearly pre-industrial world. In the 1970s, many began immigrating to the U.S. after the Vietnam War. Significant numbers of them settled in California's Central Valley, where they have a new life of opportunity and unhealthy temptation. Things like fast food, soft drinks, and candy, food that's very different from what their bodies are accustomed to. As Pauline Bartolone tells us, dealing with diabetes in the Hmong community is a family affair.
55-year-old Chia Chow Lo sits in front of a whiteboard teaching math to his 11-year-old adopted daughter.
Negative 2 times 5 equals negative 10. Negative 10 and positive 10 is not equal, okay?
Mr. Lo wears a camouflage cap, khaki pants, and a gray polo t-shirt. He's a thin, small man. He lectures about the importance of getting ahead in school.
You take this subject for elective to help your GPA break up. Understand?
I know.
He did the same with his older son, Fidan, who's 28 now and has his own kids. Fidan's visiting his parents today.
Before I went to preschool, he made sure I knew all my ABCs. I knew how to count to like 100.
Hurry up.
And I knew all my shapes and colors, and I started doing multiplication.
Fidan's dad is from Laos in Southeast Asia. He was enlisted by the U.S. government to serve against the communists during the Vietnam War. He came to the U.S. from a refugee camp in Thailand. Fidan helps translate his dad's story.
When they were living in Southeast Asia, they heard that in America there were like really good opportunities for achievement or for education. So he wanted to come first for that, and then secondly, he wanted to come to escape the communists.
There are now almost a quarter of a million Hmong people living in the United States, many of them in California's Central Valley. The Lo family lives in Sanger, a rural community just outside of Fresno. Their house is shrouded by trees in an otherwise flat, unshielded landscape. The family has about an acre of land to farm, some chickens, and a few dogs. Fidan's mom, Pa Vang Lo, is proud of the gardens that wrap around the house.
This is the rice.
This is the first time
I grew myself.
Yeah, I grew the rice herself, and so we had like a big harvest festival eating thing.
New rice, we call my mom Lechia. So it's so good. So for family, we just have that.
Mrs. Lo says they grow all the vegetables they eat. Corn, green beans, sweet potatoes, mustard greens. She's a busy woman. She works as a full-time nutrition aide, cooks, cares for their daughter, runs the garden, and takes care of her husband. He was diagnosed with diabetes about 10 years after he moved to the U.S. As Mr. Lo sits on a couch in their living room, his wife helps take his blood pressure. He points to his sagging left eye.
This one is plastic now. Blind. Left eye very blind.
So it's bleeding a lot in his eye. So that's why they do the surgery, and that's what caused by the diabetes.
Diabetes also caused Mr. Lo's kidneys to fail years ago. Since then, he's been dependent on dialysis. He chooses to do the treatment at home. 4 half-hour sessions a day. First, Mr. Lo drains yellow waste fluid using a tube attached to a hole in his abdomen. Then he introduces a fresh bag of dialysis fluid into his body, and it sits there until the next dialysis treatment. The process removes toxins from the blood, a job healthy kidneys normally do.
So it's sucking everything out. So he's not pee anymore, he only poop.
No more pee.
So
I still have kidney in there, but the kidney dead.
The health complications of diabetes largely keep Mr. Lo housebound.
You like beer? Good.
Many Hmong say they didn't know diabetes back in Laos and Thailand. Mr. Lo says food, physical activity, health, everything is different here in the U.S.
In Laos, they had to walk a lot. They didn't have cars, and everywhere they went, they just had to walk. He also said that as soldiers, even in Laos, it's a poor country. They didn't have a lot to eat anyways, and they did a lot of physical activities. In contrast, coming to the United States, everywhere you go, you don't get to walk a lot. You just drive to every place you go. On top of that, the food here, they make it too good. There's a lot of fat in the meats that they have here. They use preservatives for the food to preserve it for longer periods. He says that once they came here, those foods taste way better than what they had in Laos. So they consumed more, and they also consumed more sweets like sugary drinks like Coke and Pepsi.
After his diagnosis, friends and family encouraged Mr. Lo to use traditional Hmong healing practices. At first, they got help from a shaman and used herbal remedies.
Hmong belief system was that maybe it's because of your spirit, or maybe it's because of something you did, or maybe it's because your ancestors are not happy with you. So you had to do maybe spiritual callings or shamanistic rituals to try to remedy those things. But he said that even after all of those, it didn't work. So the Hmong people would be like, well, maybe you need to try these types of herbal medicine or these root types of medicine from trees or stuff to help you out. But after he took a lot of those, it also didn't help him.
Mr. and Mrs. Lo have embraced Western medicine. They test his blood sugar once a day. Mrs. Lo says measuring glucose levels is essential for keeping her husband's diabetes under control.
Yeah, enough.
They say they've abandoned the spiritual healing practices of the Hmong, but Mr. Lo occasionally tries new herbal remedies. That's one of the reasons there's sometimes tension between the couple.
Ooh. 181.
Ooh. Yeah.
Hi.
Did you take your pill?
Not yet.
See? Okay, you're busy.
Mrs. Lo chops beans from her garden for this Saturday morning meal. Cooking for her husband's health has required some experimentation.
He has a diabetes, so I learned that each time he eats the regular rice, make his sugar going up very, very high. And sticky rice is make like more higher. The sugar is stay more longer. But when I change my way to be like brown rice with almost 2 meals or 3 meals, we are be able to be control his sugar down lower.
Mrs. Lo says she's the one who likes change. Her son says she was one of the first people in their community to cook brown rice for the family. But they didn't always like it. Mrs. Lo not only had to learn how to make healthier food, but how to get her husband to eat it.
I don't really tell him that this is only for you, but I said it's for family, but you need to eat a little bit more. So every time I make meals, I don't make special for him. Everyone needs to eat the same.
But Mr. Lo still has an appetite for unhealthy foods, a tendency his wife is constantly keeping in check. Ultimately, he realizes she's keeping him alive.
When he finds out that a lot of his age group has passed away, he feels that they didn't have a really strong support group. He said their wives must not take care of them as well as my mom has taken care of him. And that's probably why they've all passed away before he has.
Like I say, if she don't take care of me or I don't take care good enough, I already die many times. Those who dialyze after me already die. One died 2009, one died 2008, one died just this year.
The Lo family is giving us a glimpse inside their lives and how they're dealing with diabetes. But compared to other ethnic groups, there isn't a lot of current data about diabetes in the Hmong community. One of the few people tracking this is Dr. Diane Baker with the Sacramento State School of Nursing. She's been doing research on Hmong health issues for 2 decades.
General estimates are that Diabetes in the Hmong community is around 16 to 20%, which is almost double that found in the European American community. One study in Minnesota indicated levels as high as 41% either identified with diabetes or at significant risk, we call a pre-diabetic state. So the impact is huge and growing.
Now, you were involved with a community assessment done through the Hmong Women's Heritage Association. Fidan, one of the people we just heard from in our previous segment, helped to gather information through those surveys and focus groups. Can you tell us a little bit about what you found?
Diabetes is devastating the Hmong community. There's definitely an awareness of the impact of diabetes. We also found there's a lack of basic access to care for the Hmong. They are an underinsured group, and when they are actually able to get to care, there's a lack of trust with the Western healthcare providers. So even when they get recommendations for care, it's hard for them to follow up and do what's being recommended. We found that only 13% had ever had a foot check, which should be a standard of care. 30% had had recommended dilated eye exams, which should be done annually, so that's a way under what our target would ideally be. 38% were not aware of their A1C levels, and everyone with diabetes should know what their A1C is because it tells you how your diabetes and glucose levels have been managed over time. So in none of these cases were the Hmong even getting 50% of the care that they should be getting, and there's a variety of reasons for that. One of which is that a lot of the care is being offered through the safety net clinics, and they just don't have the resources.
You've already cited some pretty astonishing numbers, rates from 16 to 20%, as high as 41% in one study. In your experience, why are the diabetes rates so high?
Well, there's almost a perfect storm. When you have refugee groups that come in from very high energy agrarian societies and they arrive in the United States and they quickly have a very sedentary lifestyle, there's a risk factor there. The variety and depth of food that they're used to is highly impacted. Certainly fast food plays into this. And then there's also genetic factors. There's a protective gene that has been identified in many of the persons of Asian heritage that actually sort of prepares you for having low food resource. But when you come to an area where there's high food resource, suddenly that gene's working against you. So even typical diets can allow you to gain weight. And of course, weight gain is a high risk factor for diabetes. All those factors play into it. And then there's just the issues related to depression and being in refugee status and isolation and a sense of loneliness.
You mentioned depression. Fidan Lo says that depression is rampant in the Hmong community. And this also is a problem with other Southeast Asian groups who are coming from war-torn countries. How does this affect their diabetes management?
It's hard to take care of yourself when you're depressed. It also is difficult because when the depression is treated, now you've added another layer of medication onto the regime for diabetes. So you have a population that's somewhat distrustful of Western medicine. They're not wanting to take all these pills. And now there's even more medication and more pills. So care for diabetes has to be multifaceted. We have to improve our cultural competency and outreach. We have to look at these comorbid conditions, such as the relationship between depression and diabetes, if we're going to be effective in making a difference.
Dr. Diane Baker is with the Sacramento State School of Nursing. Fidan Lo is making a difference in the Hmong community. He lives in Sacramento now with his own family, but often visits his parents near Fresno. His father instilled in him the value of education, and now he's paying it back. He received an advanced degree in public health. As Pauline Bartolone tells us, he's putting it to good use, helping others.
This is just some sample AmeriCorps grants.
At the Hmong Women's Heritage Association in South Sacramento, Fidan Lo heads up research and grant writing for their community diabetes work. He knows from experience that it takes a lot to manage and reverse chronic disease.
If you want to treat somebody with diabetes, then really your environment has to change, and it starts with your family.
Through surveys and focus groups, the Hmong Association gathered much-needed information to help combat diabetes in their community.
They really, really would like to see a lot more programs that has activities for older folks out there. They want a safe place to exercise. They also want a safe place to just mingle and socialize.
In late October, a community health worker named Jua Lo led the association's first diabetes workshop with Fidan. More than 20 people attended, most of them diabetic. As they explained the basics of diabetes, the older crowd listened intently. None took notes, but they weren't shy about asking questions.
I didn't expect that many people to show up, and I didn't expect that response from the Hmong community because they're generally really, really shy. So they actually came out of the shell.
An independent health educator showed simple ways to be more active at home. Jua translated, using the English word for exercise. There's no such word in the Hmong language.
At home with a chair in front of the...
Soon they were all on their feet, lifting arms and legs to music. There was blushing and smiling.
A lot of people were laughing, especially during the exercising routine, because, you know, They don't exercise much, you know, so like exercising might be a little funny to them, but I think they enjoyed it a lot.
Fidan joined them. He was one of the youngest people in the room.
I think me and my dad, we are a lot alike too, so we like to teach, we like to encourage people.
Fidan says this is the first time people here have been taught about diabetes. He hopes it won't be the last time they hear the health educator's words.
Don't let diabetes control your life. You control yourself, so don't let diabetes control your life.
3, 4, 5, 5 more, 6, almost 7.
In the search for solutions to community health issues, it's clear that one size does not fit all. Fidan Lo and others are finding ways to customize solutions for individuals while engaging their communities, so they're not just coping with diabetes, they're changing for the better. Dealing with Diabetes was produced by Pauline Bartolone, Catherine Stifter, Paul Conley, and Alan Ray. Multimedia and web content by Andrew Nixon and Veronica Nagy. Executive producer Joe Barr. Music by Scott Collard, Kevin Moore, and Stars of the Lid. You'll find much more online, including diabetes resources, videos, slideshows, and a place for you to comment at capradio.org/dealingwithdiabetes. Support for this program was provided by the California Endowment and the California Healthcare Foundation. I'm Pamela Wu. Dealing with Diabetes was produced by Capital Public Radio, Sacramento.